1, 2.
Welcome to Two for the Road, movies with Matt and Adam.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Adam. We're a weekly movie pairing podcast. Every week we'll pick a theme, recommend a movie to the other guy he has not seen based on theme, watch, and discuss.
And we have a 25-year age difference, so we have a different model of movies.
Yes, we do. I think this week we'll demonstrate that. So this week was a little bit different. I watched a movie I'd never seen, Kelly's Heroes. You, and then we both watched Three Kings, which we had seen.
Right.
But I saw it on the new release rack in Blockbuster in 1999, so I basically had never seen
Pretty much Kelly's Heroes. I saw it at the drive-in movie theater in 1971, so I don't think I'd seen it since.
Oh, so. Damn. Okay. So our theme this week is, wartime gold heists?
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. Probably the only two movies ever made.
Yeah. They fit, right?
Right.
So, Matt, let's start with Kelly's Heroes.
Kelly's Heroes, starring, of course, Clint Eastwood, Telly Savalas, Don Rickles, and a bunch of other people.
yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
But a bunch of other people, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. You said,
I forgot Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
Carol O'Connor.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. Gavin McLeod from the Love Boat.
Okay. And, Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah. Stuart Margolian from Rockford Files.
Basically, if you were ever on TV, you're in this movie.
And Len Lasser.
I have no idea who that is.
Leo.
Okay, right. I thought I recognized him. I was like, that can't be. I was like, young Uncle Leo? Uncle Leo is young? And he's playing like this mafioso, like military guy?
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's a lot of people in this, and you know, and I looked up the director who I wasn't familiar with, Brian Hutton. His most famous, I think, were Eagles Dare, which is another Clint Eastwood movie, World War II movie, which is pretty good, but I didn't really recognize much else that he's done, and the writer, I think. What's his name? Troy Kennedy Martin. The only thing I know that I've seen that he did was a pretty good Michael Caine movie called The Italian Job back in 1969.
Oh, the original Italian Job?
The original Italian Job.
Heist movie, right?
Yeah, another heist movie.
I've seen the remake with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
No, not Mark Wahlberg.
No, it is.
Oh, I thought it was, damn it. The guy from Fight Club and American History X.
Oh,
was he not in that?
Mark Wahlberg, Donald Sutherland. He might have been in. Mark Wahlberg, Edward Norton. Yeah, they're both in. So,
We're both right.
Yeah, we're both right. Finally. Yeah, that's the only. I mean, I don't know either of these director so, or writer so much, but you know, this is a really popular anti-war movie. I think back in the Vietnam era, but. I don't really think it holds up all that well.
Yeah. So here's the problem. Okay, here's my big beef with this movie.
Okay.
Well, okay, I'm gonna start positive. So here's what I liked about this movie is that the director-writer combination, they were definitely trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, hey, you know, MASH, it's an anti-war movie. It's got a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Catch 22, obviously, got a lot of brain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use neither. And let's make an anti-war movie that is filled with a ton of famous people who don't do anything, really. The plot is kind of confusing. And, like, there's these moments where, like, the mine scene.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. They're walking through a field. Somebody steps on a mine, gets blown up.
That dude's dead. So then they're trying to dig out the mines, okay? And then it's like really serious, Mm-hmm. And then it's funny. And then they go off and they all kind of, then all of them get out somehow, except for these two guys. Mm-hmm. Then they all come back, the Germans show up, and then the two other guys die, and they were all really sad about it. It's like, what? You weren't sad a second ago when that guy blew up.
Now there's three
now
guys.
Now you're really sad. Yeah. And then a minute later, you're making jokes. It was just weird to watch a movie where people were being killed, like, pretty brutally, but it's supposed to be a comedy? Like, I couldn't figure out, like, what I was watching.
Yeah, it didn't... Yeah, I think it was supposed to be a dramedy of some sort, which I don't think back in that day there wasn't too many of them. This might have been a first, yeah. You know, because, I mean, if you think about it and you compare it to our next movie, because I hadn't seen it since in 50 years. I probably hadn't seen this in 50 years. Yeah. I had no idea. I didn't remember that they get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think that they would have to pay the price somehow. No?
No, and that's another thing there. I mean, there are parts in this movie where they're like, obviously this movie's about Vietnam, right? It's
yeah,
they're basically. They're critiquing the military about how ridiculous it is. But, and like, you know, like that they're immoral or corrupt, but then our heroes are immoral and corrupt. So they all are. There's no soapbox, you know what I mean?
Right,
so
right,
there's no
right.
higher ground.
Right.
So it just didn't really make sense. And there's a couple of like shining moments in this movie, like Donald Sutherland.
I love him.
I don't know what he was doing.
He's like the first hippie.
Is that what it was? Because yeah. I'm like, what is your accent? I have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, he's like the first. He's a hippie 20 years before hippies.
Okay.
You know,
the first hippie in World War II.
Yeah, because he's kind of like, don't, you know, watch the negative vibes and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because he steals the movie. I
mean, yeah, of course. Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah.
Like, his lines are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The hell's that?
His name's Oddball.
I got three Shermans outside.
Yeah, what outfit?
Right now, I don't have any outfit.
Who's your commanding officer?
He got decapitated by an 88 about 6 weeks ago. But I mean, don't say you're sorry. He's been trying to get us killed ever since we landed at Omaha Beach. It's terrible.
He hasn't reported him dead yet. You see, I've been collecting his whiskey.
We see our role as essentially defensive in nature. While our armies are advancing so fast and everyone's knocking themselves out to be heroes, we are holding ourselves in reserve. In case the Krauts mount a counteroffensive which threatens Paris or maybe even New York, then we can move in and stop them. But for $1.6 million, we could become heroes for 3 days.
There's a couple other things, but...
The one scene I enjoyed, or the one set of scenes that I enjoyed the most, was the actual... when they actually steal the gold, that whole setup where they're outside the town. Mm-hmm. There's three tanks in the town. And there's this kind of long, you know, period where but it's very quiet, you know. I just really liked that scene where they finally took the gold, you know. But there's so much of this. This could be a half an hour shorter.
Oh yeah,
the battle scenes. We hate battle scenes.
Yeah, it's like I mean, the modern version is like if you're watching some movie and there's like the CGI fight.
Or right, right,
like,
right.
Luke, it's like fast forward. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
It's just chaos, and it doesn't ever. It doesn't have any impact on what's happening.
It's just blowing up shit. You know, okay. If somebody, you know, one of the main characters get killed during a battle, that's fine. But I mean, there's a lot of just blowing things up and people dying and
moving on.
No feeling. Nobody cares about anybody.
Nope. Exactly. There's no reason to care about anybody, right?
Right.
Like the main guy, Kelly. Like, because when we started the show, you said starring Clint Eastwood. I was like, was it? Like, yeah. He barely speaks.
Yeah, he is. This is probably his most... I mean, this is pretty much what he was back in the late 60s, early 70s. I mean, he does no acting at all. You wonder, I guess he was becoming a big star because of the spaghetti westerns and stuff.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think they could have found somebody a little better than Eastwood.
I mean, anybody.
Right. Like, yeah. Charlton Heston or somebody.
Oh, God. No. Let's not go crazy. But yeah, Eastwood was kind of a weird character because he's the title character. Mm-hmm. And I kept waiting for like a reason to, you know, root for him, but it never comes.
No. He's just another scumbag.
Yeah, right.
Who just wants to steal a bunch of gold and doesn't care that people are dying, and whoever dies doesn't really matter.
I mean, Telly Savalas at least seemed cares. Like he was like looking out for his dudes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he had his own men. Mm-hmm. Kelly was an ex lieutenant or captain or something that got busted. You don't even know what rank he is.
No.
You don't even know where he is. I mean, who he is in this situation. I mean, because Telly Savalas doesn't tell him what to do.
No.
Nobody tells him what to do. He's like on his own.
Yeah, the chain of command, not super clear in this movie. No. kind of like, okay, I guess these guys are all just hanging together.
I thought Carol Connor was good, too. Kind of this outrageous general, which, again, if we're talking about Vietnam, it's, you know, or even World War II, you had these generals that all they cared about was making a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Patton.
Yeah.
Patton wanted to win the war. But he also wanted to make a name for himself.
Right.
You know, and that's in this, but, you know.
You know, and again, it's hard to, like, hold it up to the standard, but, you know, Catch-22 did it so much better, right. You know?
Yeah, Catch-22 is a much better movie. MASH is a much better movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are the those are the things that this is going to be compared to, right? And mm-hmm. It just isn't as good.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of late 60s, early 70s, a whole bunch of war movies, and then they sort of disappeared because they didn't do well mm-hmm. at the box office.
Because so this movie was made in 1970. 70? Is there like an unwritten rule like you can't make fun of the war that's actually happening? Is it because people
are dying?
I think so.
I think you couldn't do a Vietnam War. I mean, the first Vietnam War movie I saw, I mean, because basically MASH is about Vietnam.
Right.
You know, Catch-22 is about World War II, but it's 20 years later.
Right.
Or at least about, you know.
I don't know. I'm not going to look it
20
up.
20-something years.
The book, I'm not sure when the book was published.
But yeah, I mean, I guess you can't make fun of the first Vietnam movie I saw was, I think the war was still going on, but it was really late. Mm-hmm. It was actually an Australian movie with Burt Lancaster. That was the first Vietnam movie that I saw. And then you had Coming Home, then The Deer Hunter, Born on the 4th of July, Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are within 5 years after Vietnam, these movies came out about the actual war that had just happened. So,
Catch-22, published 1961, movie, same year as this one.
Yep.
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know if they were kind of cash in on this, but, hey, the movie MASH, same year as this one.
Really?
1970.
Damn. All three of them came out the same year.
Right.
With, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, two out of three ain't bad, right?
No.
And so this one also suffered from what we talked about many, many shows ago, like the Patton thing where it's a lot of people driving up to places in tanks, and you're like, can't you just cut and then be at the place? Like, do we need to see, like,
yeah, we don't
the need, motion?
We don't need to see 16 guys sitting on a tank.
And, like, it's slowly moving.
Yeah.
Like you said, 30 minutes could have been cut. I totally agree. Here's some scenes that Eastwood is, so they cut 20 minutes from this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were just filming everything. And so these are the scenes that Eastwood wished were put back in. Oddball and his crew pack up to go across the lines to meet up with Kelly, while local village girls are running around half naked.
Okay.
That would have been okay. Would have made it better.
Mm-hmm.
The platoon.
The more Oddball, what was his name?
Oddball.
The more Oddball, the better the movie.
The platoon encounters a group of German soldiers and naked girls swimming in a pool.
Well,
do you see a lot of
nudity cut from this.
Yeah. Yeah. While they wait for Oddball in the barn at night, Kelly and Big Joe talk about their disillusionment with the war. And, you know, kind of then we would get the backstory of Kelly, but they cut that totally.
See, that would have been much more interesting than a bunch of tanks driving up to a town. Mm-hmm. I would love to have seen that. Why was Kelly so cold to everything except getting rich?
I mean, this movie needed more talking and less action.
Correct.
I mean, that's really all it needed. Like, give me some scenes with Eastwood and, you know, Donald Sutherland.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Donald Sutherland and his crew.
Right.
They were fun.
Yeah. We have Harry Dean Stanton, who does nothing. We have Don Rickles, who...
He wasn't even Harry Dean Stanton then.
Who was he? Harry Stanton?
He's just Dean Stanton.
Oh, he's just Dean Stanton? Not even Harry yet.
No, he's not even Harry.
And then we got Don Rickles, who at the time probably one of the funniest people in America.
Of course. And he never really gets to do what he does. I think they probably let him riff a little bit, but they didn't use a lot of it, you know? I was disappointed watching this.
Me too. I mean, I was like, I like the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like when Eastwood is getting this German drunk to find out the secrets. The captain is trying to, like, he's like, how can I get this yacht out of here? I was like, oh, this is pretty...
But that shows you how absurd the whole thing is.
Right.
Right.
That's when I was like, oh, this is going to be a really, like, over-the-top, you know, satire. And then there's, like, tanks and stuff, and it just kind of goes back to being a regular movie.
It lost
movie.
The satire.
Yeah.
I think, you're right, in the beginning it was a satire, especially with that boat scene. I mean, that captain trying to get the boat out, and he's doesn't care about anything else.
Right.
Doesn't care about his men. Doesn't care about anything. You know, Kelly, we don't even know what he's who he is, what he's about. He doesn't care about anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, at least Savalas cares about his men. But, yeah, but the satire just disappeared.
And Savalas is trying to get him to a hotel to get him some ladies. And they bring that gag up a couple times. Then it just stops and it kind of shit.
Right.
Once they hit the road, it's like, okay, now you're just, I don't know. It's like a really boring action movie, essentially.
It got bogged down in its own action instead of being about words and ideas and things that Catch 22 and MASH were about, because their satire kept up through the whole thing.
Right.
They are very satirical from start to finish. This one, after half an hour, okay, let's hit the road and become boring.
Right. And that's what it was. It was just boring. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, I was watching it. And I was like, I'm going to start cooking. So I just, like, put my laptop in the kitchen. I'm looking at the pasta more than I'm looking at the screen. You know, it's like, this is not that great of a movie.
No.
But something like Catch 22, when someone dies in that movie, it means something.
It means something.
But in this movie, it's like people just blowing up left and right. And it's like, okay.
Yossarian is the main character in Catch 22, and he cares.
Right.
He cares about his men or the people he's with.
Well, he mostly cares about himself.
He cares about himself, but he also, there are people who care about other people in this movie. In Kelly's Heroes, no, there really isn't.
Yeah, so it was a bit disappointing. And then I was thinking, you know, or this movie could have gone the other way, where it was just like over the top, like gag, gag, gag.
Right, right.
Like if this was a Mel Brooks movie, you know, every time we saw the Germans speaking, there would have been a joke. There would have been a running jokes, but it didn't have any of that.
No. No, it didn't. It was not. Yeah, I agree with you. If it had kept the satire in it, which we had in the first few scenes, I think it would have been a lot more interesting.
And then at the end, where they get the end scene's ridiculous, right? They're making fun of Eastwood's spaghetti western background. Mm-hmm. They have the showdown with the tank.
Right, right.
Yeah. They get the German guy out of the tank. And yet they still have to convince him. It's like, you have guns. You've killed everybody else. Why is this person not going to be killed?
And why has this guy not machine gunned these three guys standing in the street?
Right. But they chat with him and they convince him. And that was kind of an interesting scene, right?
Yep.
It had something to it.
Hey, look, Max, you and us, we're just soldiers, right? We don't even know what this war is all about. All we do is we fight and we die. And for what? We don't get anything out of it. In about a half an hour, the whole American army is going to be coming down that road. Why don't you do yourself a great big fat favor, huh? And get the hell out of here.
I have orders. This bank isn't to fall into the hands of the American army.
Sergeant, this bank's not going to fall in the hands of the American army. It's going to fall in our hands.
You see, we're just a private enterprise operation.
You, the American Army.
No, baby, we ain't. You know what's inside that bank, man? There's $16 million worth of gold in that bank, sweetheart.
Yeah. Well, that's what Don Rickles came up with that idea, you know. Hey, he's just like you. Maybe he wants some gold.
Well, he says maybe he's a Republican.
Yeah, maybe he's a Republican.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was worth seeing. It's something I'd heard of before. You know, like you said, it gets thrown around. I think I saw it was on some reputable list of 100 best war movies. It was like in the 30s.
Oh, fool.
Which,
no.
I don't know.
I don't even think it's in the 100 best.
I don't know. I couldn't even name.
Yeah,
I couldn't even name really. 30 war how movies many? Probably. In America, I mean.
Right. Well, we already named two better ones.
Right. Well, it's just crazy. They all came out in the same year. Like, can you imagine? Like, you're automatically going to be compared to those. It's like when all those volcano movies came out in America, like in the 90s. Like Deep Impact.
And yeah.
The other one.
And they're all comedies.
Yeah.
Or supposedly. Because this isn't laugh out. You know, MASH has some really laugh out loud moments, but this had none.
So I think we both agree that Donald Sutherland stole it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. But he's such an odd character compared to everybody else in the movie.
Is this one of his earlier?
Yes.
Earlier roles?
Yeah, he had already done. What did he do before this? It was probably mostly Canadian stuff.
Donald Sutherland's Canadian?
Oh, he's in The Dirty Dozen. Forgot about that. That's another one. 1967. You ever seen that?
No.
Okay.
Donald Sutherland's Canadian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he flies into Burlington all the time. Yeah. He has a house here in Vermont, and he also lives up in Montreal, I think. But yeah, he was doing much of TV, it looked like. But he'd been around since 62. I didn't realize that. But it was mostly TV. Probably mostly Canadian TV. But, I forgot he was in, he played another weirdo in The Dirty Dozen, Vernon Pinkley.
That's a weirdo name,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But we know that he went on to do great things, so. He was in MASH right at the same year. I forgot.
Oh. Okay.
And then he did another movie, Start the Revolution and Without Me, which is not that good a movie, but it's Gene Wilder and Donald Sutherland. So, yeah. So I think this is when his career took off. It was right around that.
I didn't realize he was Hawkeye Pierce in the original MASH.
Oh, really?
Because I'm a TV show guy more than the movie. You know.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie right a long time ago?
Yeah. I mean, not a long time ago, probably like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Not super long, but yeah, I've definitely watched it. But when I think of MASH, I think of the show more than the movie.
Right.
100%. But like, wasn't like Radar in both of them? The guy that played
He was
Radar?
The only one in both of them. Yeah.
That's an odd trivia. Mm-hmm. Odd claim to fame. All right, Matt. I don't know. Anything else you want to say about...
Nah, I just want to say I was disappointed. It didn't hold up very well. It's just... There's two better war movies that same year that you can watch.
War satires, or not satire. Just war movies,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I think people love this movie still.
They do. I was bored, you know. And I probably love the second movie more than I should have.
Like, I bet my dad loves this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask him next time I talk to him, but... I'll go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll probably say, it's hilarious, but I don't know. I'm not getting it. All right, Matt, you want to guess the scores? We didn't give much time to old Kelly's Heroes, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine. It's just, you know, we'll talk more about our second film.
48,000 people checking in on IMDb.
I'm still going to go like 7.6.
Nailed it.
Did I? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
7.6, which is... ridiculous.
That's I was giving it a little, you know, I actually think it's more of like a 7.2 or 7.1.
Oh gosh, so I think it's like, I'm saying like 6.5.
No, I don't think it's that bad.
That's not bad. Yeah, I mean, we watch a lot of good movies that have been rated like that.
Okay.
But okay, anyway. So, what do you think about Rotten Tomatoes? Let's see what the critics and the people.
I'll say the critics say 85.
Critics 78.
So yeah, that's pretty low for
A quote unquote beloved war movie. Yeah. What about the audience?
I'm gonna go higher. 88.
Nailed it. 88. Exactly.
Oh really?
Yeah. You're on fire tonight, Matt.
Wow.
You should play the lotto. See if I can grab a negative review here. Oh, here we go. This is from the Chicago Reader. An attempt to blend the war epic and the caper film that doesn't quite come off. See, that's, I would say they tried to blend more than that. It was just that there's the war film, the caper film, the satire, the, you know, the heist, the sort of like a buddy comedy.
It would have been better if it was two things, a war heist movie or a war satire, or something. But yeah, they're trying to comp. It was just too much going on.
And I can't remember if we said this, but just too many dudes.
Yeah,
I mean, way too many. How many people? And there was as the audience, I couldn't figure out who was important. Like, do I need to know this person's name?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to know like Uncle Leo?
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite scenes where when he first shows up and Sutherland's calling him and he's like, I can get a bridge anywhere. Come on. They're like haggling over like a bridge, you know? Right. That was really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he shows up later and I'm like, okay, do I need to know, is this guy going to be a major player? And then nothing.
And even Carol O'Connor wasn't that big a...
Right.
He showed up and he's all piss and vinegar and yelling and screaming. And then he disappears for 20 minutes. You know, yeah, a lot of it didn't make sense. It was too long, but felt like there was a lot cut out.
Yeah, it's all these scenes of people driving up places and rando Germans blowing up.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I'm disappointed I didn't like it, but I didn't like it.
Hey, that's
you never know.
It's good to read.
Things change.
Yeah, that's right.
Things do change. I was 16 when I saw it, so. A 16-year-old loves this movie.
A 16-year-old
back then.
Yeah, loves the movie. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure, like, if your taste had not changed since you were 16, we'd be watching very different movies.
I wouldn't be on the show.
All right, Matt, you ready for this? This is a critics' consensus.
Okay.
Kelly's Hero subverts its World War II setting with pointed satirical commentary on modern military efforts, offering an entertaining hybrid of heist, caper, and battlefield action.
Yeah. It wasn't entertaining.
Right. That was the word that I was like,
if you take that word out. It did have those same things in it, but it wasn't all that entertaining.
Yeah, take that word out, and I mostly agree with this objective evaluation. All right, Matt, you want to take a break, and we'll come back and talk about Three Kings?
Yes.
So the next movie of the week is 1999's Three Kings. For some reason, I thought this was a Steven Soderbergh movie.
I did too. It is not. It's a Russell?
David O. Russell.
David O. Russell, yeah.
Yeah, and he's obviously done a ton of stuff. But yeah, for some reason, I thought, okay, Clooney, Wahlberg, Ice Cube, 90s, that's got to be Steven Soderbergh,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it's not. And...
Yeah, yeah. I thought because it feels like a Soderbergh movie,
doesn't it?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Please mute your phones before the feature, Matt.
I'm sorry.
So this is a again a similar movie. This is taking place in the aftermath of the Persian Gulf War,
mm-hmm.
The first one. I guess we have to say now.
Yes.
Whatever.
Whatever it is. the Kuwaiti war or whatever.
That was a weird war because I think I was like 11 when it happened. It's like 90, 91.
Yep.
And that was the first war that I remember there being trading cards.
There was a lot about that war that was the first. And it, the what I remember mostly, I didn't really realize it had trading cards. Was it like generals and stuff?
Yeah, like I had like a Colin Powell.
Wow. Like
trading card.
Still have it?
No.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things you buy, and you're like, you know, you buy it because you're a dumb kid, and you're like, it's in a pack that I can't see. I wonder what's in it. And yeah, we buy them a couple times, but you know, eventually you're like, well, these are weird.
Well, yeah, but you know, you're 11 years old, and they're showing like this stuff on TV every night.
Oh, yeah. Like it's watching like
the smart bombs and the way that the bombs would come in and just.
I just remember it's a black screen. You can kind of see stuff. Mm-hmm. Then you just see these green,
right,
like beams.
Yeah.
And my parents didn't lean over and say, those are civilians being slaughtered. But, you know, at that age, I don't really put that together. But later on, it's like, wow, that was just on TV, huh?
Yeah.
I guess it still is.
It was a very nationalistic war. I think it was the first war that it almost seemed like it was made for TV.
Yeah. You know?
And that's what it felt. And I think that part, I think one of the subjects of this movie is basically that. We only care about the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the story has to be interesting. It has to make us look good kind of thing. And that's pretty much what it was about.
Right. I can get you a Colin Powell rookie card, $114, slightly used.
Wow.
But Saddam Hussein's only $28.99.
Oh, what about that? Who's the mouthpiece for Saddam? What was his name? The spokesman? He had that really kind of weird nickname.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm going to the rabbit hole. I could do this forever. I just remembered that there was these weird.
How much is a Schwarzkopf?
Oh, man, a Schwarzkopf. That's big money, probably.
Yeah.
How do I spell Schwarzkopf? So, yeah, back to the movie. Yeah, not a Soderbergh movie.
Nope.
But you said you liked it, right?
I liked it a lot. And David Russell, David O. Russell, has done a lot of good movies that I've liked. American Hustle, Silver Linings, Playbook, The Fighter, which is good, with Wahlberg. I don't know. I'm a huge fan of George Clooney in his movies.
Who's
not? I love his movies. Wahlberg's fun. Ice-T's great in this.
Great. Well,
not great, but he's very good.
He's really good at saying the things that Ice Cube would say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he's great, but he's fine.
No, he was fine. He was a fine actor. He's better than some. I mean, and who else is in this? Oh, Spike Jonze is in this.
Spike Jonze is better than expected.
He was great.
Yeah, I had no memory of this movie. Mm-hmm. So from the very opening scene where Wahlberg is like, are we shooting?
Yeah.
Like, are we shooting? Like, I love that.
I love that opening.
I was like, wow, this is how you represent not only what it was like, but also make it so cringy that like you're just getting it like the heart of it. This kid doesn't even know if he's supposed to shoot people. And then he just decides to.
They had not seen any action.
And everyone's cheering him for it.
Yep. And he felt bad for a minute.
Until he was drunk and dressed like a sheik.
But I love that opening scene.
Yeah.
Because it's everything. It's the last day of the war or after the war. You know, these guys don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's telling them anything. You know, it's a free-for-all, pretty much. And the guy was not aiming his gun at him, was he? He was just holding it. I don't know.
Well, I think he did aim it.
Oh, he maybe he did, yeah.
But
it was just so weird.
It was
weird.
Also unclear if that was like, if that really happened, if he thought he aimed the gun.
Right.
But yeah, that first scene just definitely sets the stage. You know exactly what you're in for. This movie is. And on the movie, like, it felt quick.
Right.
It had this like velocity throughout the whole thing. Like, part of it was like the drum solo, soundtrack.
Yeah.
But it was like boom, 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 boom. It's like you never felt bored. It never let up.
It was not a lot of wasted space in this movie at all. You know, you have these central characters, And every once in a while you get another character or something, or you get a civilian, something like that. But it was mostly about the three kings,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, you know, like I say, I think I like it more than I should have.
What do you mean should have?
I don't know. It just doesn't, I don't know. I just really, really like it.
Well, it's entertaining.
It's very entertaining.
Especially if you watch Hogan's Heroes. It's like having a Coors Light and having a Heady Topper. You know what I mean? It benefits from the comparison.
Hogan's Heroes would have been better than Kelly's Heroes.
Is that what I said? Yeah. No, whatever. Wasn't it someone, didn't they have like a General Hogan in that? I was like, I can't even keep up. Whatever. Kelly's Heroes,
yeah,
sorry.
Kelly. Yeah. No, I mean, I just really enjoy this movie. I think this is about the third time I've seen it. So it's fun. It's fast-paced. You know, in the end, there's a payoff, that there's a moral dilemma that we have.
Mm-hmm.
In the first movie, there's no moral dilemma.
No.
There's nothing.
The dilemma is, hey, there's no bridge. Or we don't have tanks. We get tanks.
Yeah.
Hey, there's no bridge. Hey, we found a way around it. Hey, we can't open the door. Mm-hmm. Boom, it's open. I mean, it's like, yeah.
This movie shows what it was like to be a civilian
mm-hmm.
at that time, which was not a good thing.
Yeah, right. Not great.
It even shows what it was like to be, you know, in the Iraqi army.
Guard, yeah.
You know, which wasn't great either.
Also not great.
No. I mean, you're just afraid somebody's going to kill you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're just following orders.
Right.
It's just like the American troops at the end, just following orders.
Everybody's following orders. Yeah. There's no... And what... I don't want to, you know, get to the ending right away, but what changes the ending is there's a reporter there.
Well, I thought what changes the ending is there's gold there. Right? I mean, it's both.
Yeah.
They're being watched.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's but the reporter is there, and she's got her side of the story. That's what she's showing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the gold was important, and it got the guy's his star,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. Like Clooney said, you know, let the people go. We'll mm-hmm. get the gold. You'll get your star. Then we'll go home. Mm-hmm. You know, or I'll go to prison or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But.
But yeah, so yeah, we can backtrack. So mm-hmm. yeah, we get our three guys. They find a map in a man's butthole.
Oh yeah, that was interesting.
Funny.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody wants to touch it. You only gave me one glove. That's all I have.
No, he says, that's all I have. That's how the chain of command works. Sorry. Really well written and very funny.
Yes.
And Wahlberg, this is perfect. It's a perfect Wahlberg role.
He gets it's to pretty be, early in his career, too.
Yeah, right? He gets to be a little bit goofy.
Right.
And breathless mm-hmm. through a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of slightly panicked,
mm-hmm.
but trying to keep it cool. He gets his shirt off inexplicably while he's running for his life. But hey, you know, this dude, yeah. He's not skipping core day for sure. So yeah, it was great for him. Like I said, we got Spike Jonze playing this kind of a redneck guy, mm-hmm. does it well. And then, of course, George Clooney is George Clooney.
Right. Movie star.
Right.
Cary Grant of his day. Just can go on, do anything. I mean, he can do comedy, he can do drama, he can do everything. I mean, directs.
The movie starts with him having sex with a subordinate in an office chair, and yet he's still likable.
Right.
Cool. And then we get
Special Forces Major.
Right. And then we get Ice Cube, and he's just sort of, you know, he didn't have much to do.
No. No, he was, and they're all reserves.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not like regular army. So they're just a bunch of hillbillies and stuff and crazy kids.
Yeah, and we get that great cut where they talk about they all think about their jobs beforehand. Ice Cube's working at an airport. Mark Wahlberg's got a printer exploding all over him. And Spike Jonze is just shooting cans on top of a car.
He doesn't have a job.
That's perfect. Perfect.
But Wahlberg's promised them a job in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm? Nah, it was. Nah, I see. I like these little things, these little scenes like that, because you see. We learn a lot just by that scene.
Mm-hmm.
What does Ice Cube do? What is Mark Wahlberg? You know, they don't want to go back to their fucking jobs.
Right.
None of them.
Right.
I mean,
Ice Cube's fighting with a piece of luggage. Right. You know, so it wasn't like he was having a great day either.
Right, right. So that's what I like about this movie. It's the small scenes. They just boosted this movie a lot. Because in the first movie, we don't know anything about anybody.
No.
And I think that's part of the problem. Kelly is the hero, is the namesake of the movie. We don't know anything about him.
And plus, everyone in the previous movie felt like they were 55 years old.
Well, they probably were. So Rickles probably was.
I mean, is this your second World War? Like, what are we doing here?
Were you in the First World War? Right. Yeah.
But in this movie, they at least were a little bit younger. Obviously, they're older than they probably would have been. But yeah, so they get this idea, then they all kind of come together, realize it's in their mutual interest to not let anyone in on it, and they go to get the gold, go to a wrong bunker, get directed to the right one, and they, you know, they encounter the people, and the people think that they're there to like liberate them, and they're like,
no, we're here to steal the gold,
right? We're here for the gold, and they get caught up in, you know, the Iraqi guard and the civilians, and Iraqi guard shoots a woman in the head, and that's when George Clooney realizes,
change of plans. Well, we're going to try to incorporate two plans now. We're going to rescue these people and keep the gold.
What did you think about that scene? When I was watching it, I was like, I wonder if this would annoy Matt, where it's like it was like time stopped and then like a bullet was fired.
Oh, I love that.
And then the other one was fired. Okay.
I really liked those kind of, again, those little scenes where you would see something in slow motion, which, or like even the where they show what happens to the body when a bullet goes in.
It's okay.
Yeah, I like those.
Such a 90s movie
thing. It was, yeah.
I felt like if you just show me this movie with no context, I'd be like, I don't know, 97, 98, 99.
You would know.
When that.
You would know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it definitely has all that. Oh, yeah, we saw Tarantino's movie. Let's...
Well, whatever. Well, it's kind of that realization, like, we can just do whatever the fuck we want, you know?
Yeah. So I think that's part of what's great about this movie. They pretty much do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, so then that scene kind of leads them to being chased by the Iraqi guard. They get split up. Wahlberg gets caught. Clooney and everyone else are with the rebels.
Yeah, the rebels.
Kuwaiti rebels. Or
They rescue the Kuwaiti rebels or the... I don't think they're Kuwaiti. They're
rebels.
They're Iraqi rebels.
Right.
So and I love that scene where all this gas is, they've been blown. Their vehicles have been blown up. They're out there in a minefield. There's all this, what was it, tear gas or something? Some sort of
something worse, probably.
It wasn't. Yeah. But and they're trying to find out where Wahlberg is, and everybody's stumbling around, and there's kids running around. And all of a sudden, these people show up, and they're all wearing gas masks, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all this smoke or this, stuff. And I really like. I think Russell did a great job directing. I think it was very interesting set of scenes there, where they get rescued.
So then we got we're sort of divided here. We have Clooney and the boys, kind of making a deal with the head guy of the rebels,
who happens to own some. A chain of motels or something.
Well, man, he went to business school in Bowling Green.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
He speaks English.
He speaks. They had to have one guy that speaks English. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a very awkward movie if they just couldn't communicate. So, yeah, so they figure that out, and they make a plan. We'll help you get your dude, gets across the border. They make a deal. Meanwhile, Wahlberg's being interrogated, tortured by our boy, Saeed.
Lane. Yeah.
So
I love this guy.
Yeah,
he's really good.
His real name is Saeed.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to try to say his last name.
Yeah.
Tagmaoui. Yeah. And I just tried it. Damn it. So if you're looking at Saeed's filmography, how many times do you think he has played a character named Saeed? Don't look, Matt.
Okay. I have no idea. Five times.
Five times. So out of 77. We have, let me see here real quick. I meant to do this ahead of time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Is that the only name they got for this guy? Well, he was in Lahane, which is all like, that's...
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, 7 Saeeds and... 5 Samirs.
Okay. No Abdullahs or...
Well, Muhammad. I'm not going to look all of them, but... Yeah. All right, yeah, so that's Saeed. We love him.
So we got separated. The troops are separated, which led to a great scene that I loved, was the car scene. Where the guy shows him the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're not, okay, we're going to use these to go get our, no, I can't give you the cars. There are a bunch of Rolls Royces. And what was that running joke about?
Oh, like the Infiniti convertible?
Yeah, there's Infiniti convertible, but not a Lexus convertible. Okay, yeah, that was.
Are you talking about the scene where George Clooney is trying to get them all riled up? Yeah, right, right, right. Come on, America!
Rise up. Look at us. Many races. Many nations, torso. Working together.
Not Melsu.
Tell him, Chief.
Yes, we're united.
United.
Mitahdin.
George Bush. George Bush wants you.
You. You. Stand up for yourself.
George Bush yahtajkum. George Bush wants you.
You wants you.
Yes.
He wants everybody. George he wants Bush. All yes. of you.
You stand up together.
Yahtajkum. Fight.
Kick the door. Yes. Huh? Ma'arakam.
George Bush wants you.
Yahtajkum.
Yes.
Cannot give car.
Okay. I guess we'll buy him.
And he goes, nah. He said, okay, we'll buy him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, plan B. I thought, so kind of simultaneously in the movie, I thought you were going to mention the other scene where Saeed is torturing Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what's wrong with Michael Jackson?
Yeah, oh, I love that, yeah. Well, I mean, everything. There's all these little scenes that are just so well written.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Wahlberg. He's all wired up and everything. And then this guy, the interrogator, saying, so what's up with Michael Jackson, the king of pop?
Yeah.
You know, he has to change. America makes him change.
Right.
What is your rank, bro?
Sergeant, first class.
Your company?
437 Civil Affairs Company, U.S. Army Reserve.
My main man. Tell me something, okay? What is the problem with Michael Jackson?
What do you mean?
What is the problem with Michael Jackson? What is the problem with Michael Jackson? You understand my question?
No, I'm not sure I do.
The king of pop. Woohoo. Hee hee.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
He come to Egypt, I see picture in newspaper. Hello, with the white glove. I'm Michael Jackson in my hotel room with my shop up face. Your country making shop up his face.
I don't think so.
Michael Jackson is pop king of sick fucking country.
That's bullshit, he did it to himself.
You are the blind bullshit, mommy man. It is so obvious. A black man made the skin white and the hair straight, and you know why?
No.
Your sick fucking country make the black man hate himself just like you had the Arab and the children you bomb over here.
And he keeps like calling him dude.
Yeah,
and
dude.
Like my main man. Come on, bro. Like, using these like terms of endearment while he's like torturing him, because that's just how he learned English. You know?
Right, right.
I love that. I love that little
twit.
Extra thing. You
know? Yeah, switch. That little thing. Right, yeah. I'm going to torture you, but I'm going to call you bro.
Yeah, because in my backstory, which you never get, I probably grew up listening to like American hip hop and that's
right, right.
or whatever, and that's how I learned English. You know, so just mm-hmm. I just love those little pieces, little nuggets we get left. Then eventually they bust out Wahlberg. He has an option to kill Saeed. He declines. Mercy prevails.
Well, also in that, to go back to that scene where he's torturing. You know, there's a chance for them to say, this is all about oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't tell me it's about, because we attacked Kuwait and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all about oil. He actually pours oil in his mouth or something, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a little saying, don't, you know, you guys aren't, you know, angels in this. It's not about what you think it is. It's about oil.
Right. Wahlberg says it's about stabilization. He
yeah.
says, hey, I got your stabilization for you. Have yeah. a little oil in your mouth.
Yeah.
So eventually they do free Wahlberg, and there's one rogue guardsman who's still out there. He manages to get a couple shots off. Hits Conrad, Spike Jones, hits Wahlberg. Jones doesn't make it. Wahlberg has a valve.
Has a lung. It's in his lung. So
they eventually make it to the border. They're feet away from making good on their promise and escorting these rebels across the border. The Iraqi guards there, they'll let them pass because they don't want to.
They're not going to do anything, I guess.
Right.
That's the feeling I get. They're just going to. Clooney's going to walk up there and say,
"You're letting them pass. There's a ceasefire.
Yeah, let's
don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up."
And then the American Army shows up. They screw it up. They come in. They're wrestling people, and that scene was brutal because. They're just putting the rebels in the fence. They've got their own men. Wahlberg is can barely breathe. They're just looking at him. He's in handcuffs.
And nobody will listen that he can't breathe.
Just following orders, bro.
Everybody's just following orders.
Following orders, my main man.
Yeah.
And then they finally realize, we already mentioned it. Clooney kind of says, we got the gold. You can get your star and, you'll be a hero. Just let these people live.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Happily ever after.
Happy ending. And then we find out that they didn't go to prison. They were honorably discharged.
Dishonorably discharged, right?
No, they were honorably. It was said honorable.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it said honorable discharge. Because of the news reports.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do anything else. And then, George Clooney gets a job working in the movie industry as a consultant. And Ice Cube goes to work for him. And we find out Wahlberg has his own carpet store. Happy ending.
Happy ending. He gets to see his daughter.
Yeah.
Budget was $75 million. Worldwide gross $107 million. So, made its money back.
$75 million. In 1999.
It's a lot of Humvees and tanks and stuff.
I wonder where they filmed it. Probably Kuwait.
No, Arizona or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I have no idea. I've never been there. Any other thoughts on who? Oh, who do you think stole it?
I don't think anybody stole it. I don't know.
Like no one ran away with it?
No, I mean, I love Clooney no matter what he does. I thought, I thought Ice Cube was good. Wahlberg was perfect for this part.
Can we say that I don't think that Ice Cube has ever thrown a football in his life before this movie?
No. It's pretty pitiful.
The way they shot it, he starts to throw it and they cut immediately to someone else. It's like, you definitely did not throw that ball. I mean, Ice Cube, he's a nerd, right?
He grew up collecting
records and being a DJ. That's how he spent his time. He wasn't out in the street playing football.
I love it when they have these singers, actors, rappers throw out the first pitch on a baseball game and they throw it 10 feet.
Yeah,
or they throw it so far that it looks like some out of Bull Durham.
Right.
So yeah, he didn't look good.
No, but through the magic of editing, he was somewhat saved. But I think it's pretty obvious that, he grew up a nerd. He was inside playing records and mixing. He wasn't, he wasn't a jock. All right, Matt, where are we? Scores?
I guess so. I think we ended the movie. I did want to mention that is his name McKelty Williamson? Played the Colonel?
Sure. McKelty? McKelty? I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's from what was a Tom Hanks movie where he's in Vietnam?
Forrest Gump?
Yeah, Forrest Gump. He played the shrimp guy.
Oh, Bubba Gump.
Bubba Gump.
Or Bubba Shrimp. So you think of Forrest Gump as the Tom Hanks Vietnam movie? That's funny.
Yeah, the Tom Hanks Vietnam movie.
You're not wrong. Okay, good. That's a good one.
Yeah, and the Captain Van Meter, his sidekick there, Holt McCallany, he's on that it's a Netflix show about the serial killers. He's the older the FBI guy.
Mindhunter.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the older guy in mine.
So. Oh, wow. He looked really young in this.
Yeah, he's gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Now he just plays, looks like 1955's baseball coaches or something, you know, with a crew cut. And...
He looks like he was born with a crew cut.
Yeah, he does.
He's got.
He's good, only had one haircut his whole life.
He's got a good crew cut head.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a talent. All right, Matt, you want to get some scores?
Okay.
Three Kings, we have 168,000 people checking in.
7-6.
No, 7-1.
It's a travesty.
it is a travesty.
Compared to the first movie, this is much better, right?
Like, I don't, I mean.
Do you think 7-1 is?
No.
It should be higher, right?
Yeah, I would say 7-3, 7-4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the movie, as I said, I don't want to like be too repetitive, but it's like it's just super entertaining. Like,
right.
You're never bored. You're never looking away. You're never like even the parts where that would normally be like a lull in the action with like when they're in the cave with like the rebels. Mm-hmm. There's still funny moments,
right?
You know, Ice Cube and Spike Jones have a little moment. And you're not there that long, but they move the story forward. So there's no, it doesn't drag.
David O. Russell wrote a great script for this. A very interesting script that kept it moving very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it paid off at the end.
Yeah, and there, I mean, there's the critique of like, you know, the whole, you know, Gulf War thing was
right.
Well done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, 7-1 seems woefully low.
That's terrible. I can't wait to see the other scores.
Well, let's get there. Let's see. What do you think? Critics, tomato meter, 129 reviews.
I'm going to go 86.
You went low. 94.
See? Let's see. Right? Well, no. I mean, I don't know. 94 is pretty good score.
It is a pretty good score.
But it shouldn't be an 80 or, you know, a 70s or
no,
something.
No. I would say 90 maybe is good
yeah,
for this.
I think 90.
According to, like, what we... Our personal calibration of the Rotten Tomato Critics Meter. Mm. Let me see if I can find a negative review real quick on the first page. I don't see any.
What was the other score?
The audience?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm going to go 90. No.
77. Weird.
Critics like it more.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Because, I wonder, I wish I could poll someone. I wish I could see someone who, you know, put a negative review. Like, what was it? What did you not like about it? You wanted them to get away with it?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe?
No. You couldn't in this day and age, I don't think. I don't know either.
All right, Matt, this is the Critics' Consensus. Three Kings successfully blends elements of action, drama, and comedy into a thoughtful, exciting movie on the Gulf War.
Hey, perfect.
Yeah, that's a very... Yeah. You know, sometimes they like kind of like... go way overboard in the consensus. That's what I like. This one's very much just like, this is what it is. This is the genre it is. So it's fine. It's a fine consensus. All right, Matt. Next week, we're going to be watching two recent
Nick Cage movies, which neither one of us have seen.
It's Nick Cage week. We're going to watch, I think it's 2018 Mandy.
Mandy.
I think it's Nick Cage with an axe.
Okay.
And 2021.
Nothing wrong with that.
And 2021's Pig.
I've been looking forward to seeing this. I heard it was good.
Huh? Week full of
Nick
Cage.
It has a pig in it. How can you go wrong?
What could go wrong? All right. Peace.
Bye.
He's a Philistine.
What's a Philistine?
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
Then I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I have not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
So, Jane, what you do here in effect is count boners.
I'm sure that I agree with you 100% on your police work there, Lou. It's fun.
Oh, I totally forgot to mention this, but so I guess Kelly's Heroes was based on a real story.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What was it? Where is the background? I think that's what I was looking at. So someone was looking at this book, the Guinness World Records, from 1956 to 2000, and there was a blurb about, like, the greatest robbery on record was the German National Gold Reserves in Bavaria. And so they did, like, this, Ian Sayer, this British researcher, did a 9-year investigation into it and wrote a book about it called Nazi Gold.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of heard about that. Mm-hmm. And so apparently, yeah, there was this big heist that got pulled off. It kind of like the Germans and the Americans kind of conspired together, and both countries covered it up.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So like it really has. So like that's another reason why this movie is disappointing. Like it's based on the real story, but they didn't really even know what happened until like the 80s, like the actual story.
But yeah, because they were looking for all the paintings and the stolen gold and everything. They were, so I'm sure they divvied it up, and nobody ever saw it again.
Yeah, it was just. I don't know. It's crazy that like someone should make a movie based on this, but not this one.
That would be an interesting movie. With the way the Germans, sounds like to me, the way the Germans and the Americans conspired to do something.
Mm-hmm.
The hell with the war. Let's get rich.
Right. All right. You want to get into it?
Yeah.